Does anybody, apart from those in my family, know what that is? Apart from in my family? Timothy, what is it?
A pile of rocks balancing on each
other. I don't mean the picture, I mean the book. No, not in my family. People who have been guests at my house may know this. Mrs. Watson, perhaps? Go on then, James, help them.
Catechism.
It's a catechism. Okay, and I have promised, so far reneged on this promise, various people in this church, members and friends of the church, like Margaret and Sarah and Dot, a copy of this. And in fact, last night, because I was doing this morning and I've not really had a chance to think very carefully about this this particular part of the service, I thought, oh, we better make good on this promise. And it's difficult to find this book on the internet. It was published, believe it or not, by Hayes Town Chapel. And when I first went to the Metropolitan Tabernacle, and I lived in Slough, they said, and I was thinking, oh, there's no Reformed churches in Slough. They said, oh, what about Hayes Chapel? Well, that's not too far away. Well, we never actually went there. But funnily enough, and I bought this book years later, and you, how do I get hold of a copy? I noticed yesterday that it was Hayes Town Chapel that had published this, 1970. And my very smart older daughter is good at finding these things and tracking them down. Even she couldn't find them, okay? You have to send off from America. It seems a bit crazy. But we will get these. We will get these, because these are good. Does anybody know what a catechism is? Yes, Timothy.
A long word that I can't understand.
Come on. You're normally good with words. You're our English genius guru. Charlotte, do you know what a catechism is? Okay, this is interesting. Okay, this is something that we've done in... Yes, Gracie?
It's a tiny bit like a quiz.
Okay, it's a tiny bit like a quiz. There's probably a better answer to it than that somewhere. Does it? Stanley, can you help?
Well, I don't know whether it's any link to questions or helping knowledge.
Yes, and it gives a sort of framework. And here's a definition I found yesterday. A summary of the principles of Christian religion in the form of questions and answers used for religious instruction. Okay, and we shouldn't get confused, because there are catechisms in the Catholic Church, and of course we wouldn't want to pick up the wrong one, because they would be teaching us things which are not in the Bible. And you could say, well, why are you not teaching from the Bible? Well, because, as you say, that's a very, very slim book, straightforward, needs to answer. It's got the scripture references in it, so you, and it gives you an outline framework. It's an easy way of getting the edges and the corners on your jigsaw puzzle, so that you've got things to, when you come and listen to a sermon, for example, or you're reading the Bible, or you're listening to some Christian teaching, it will help you to sort of understand where it all fits in the grand scheme of things. You don't have to pick up your Robert Raymond systematic theology book, and, you know, if you're in danger of dropping that on your toe, and Roger knows what it's like to have a bad toe, so this is an easy way in. Okay, and I understand, having read the biography, there's an autobiography or biography of David Brainerd. Does anybody know who David Brainerd is? Under the age of 20? Over the age of 20? Andrew, you must know.
He's a famous Scottish minister. Very devout man. Israel.
He went to North America to work with Native Americans there, and he's a very, very famous missionary for his zeal and his sacrificial way of living. He sort of... Oh, I mean, he faced dangers and privations, I think they call them, and he was sort of suffered from exposure, and he days on a horseback and all the rest of it to reach these people. And he spent his life, you know, I think he died by the age of about 30, but he used a catechism. I thought, well, if it's good enough for him, it's probably okay. Okay, so having not really put together a little talk here with a beginning, middle and end, I thought we could have a little quiz. Now, obviously, my children have got a slight advantage, because we do this often after lunch on a Sunday, okay? And if you've been for lunch at my house, you sometimes, I try and embarrass you and ask you questions that, well, perhaps you think you should know, but... young people, I mean, we could start with an easy one. What is the first commandment? Yes, Timothy.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Very good. And what is the tenth commandment?
Thou shalt not covet.
Very good. And we'll be talking about those a bit later, and that's why I picked on those ones in particular. Okay, so what do the first four commandments teach us in the round? Yes, Molly. Okay, you can tell that they've done this before. And what do the last six commandments teach us? Yes, Grace? Very good, you see. And of course, it's perfectly legitimate, I think. We have this on the side in the lounge to pick it up and cheat during the week. I mean, you can learn it, can't you? That's the point. And that's absolutely fine. So you can get to know the answers. Well, that's good. I think that's a sensible ploy. And there's one or two other things that that might fit in with what we're doing later as well. So I can just find this here. Bear with me. Well, there is a question in here, believe it or not, which says, is God happy with those that don't obey his commandments? Yes, Timothy.
No.
Okay, and what might it go on to say? I mean, how often is he angry with them?
All the time.
Every day. That's the answer in the book, that God is angry with people who are not right with him every day. And that is a message that people don't really want to hear. We talk about God as a God of love, and he certainly is that. But God is, his love is seen in its clearest sense when it's set against his holiness, his justice, and his wrath against sin. And that is anathema to him, which is he just can't abide it. It's in his character and his nature. And so we need to remember that, you know, this is a serious matter. I could just ask you a few more, and we could. What are some of the benefits? What is sanctification? Yes, Timothy, you're doing well here.
God making you a more Christian person on a longer journey. Something along those
lines. Okay, not bad, not bad. There's a word beginning with H that I'm sort of thinking of here. Yes, it's God making sinners holy in heart and conduct. And of course, that's right, it's a good answer, Timothy. You're pretty much, I knew where you were coming from, you're pretty much right there. But of course, we need to remember at all times that we become Christians before we become holy. We don't become holy to become Christians. That's a key thing. It's a key mistake that adults, professing believers, make all the time. So we found this useful. The first part covers God, creation and the fall and the covenant of grace. Second part, the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer. And the third part, Christ, the Church, and the last things. So I will try and get hold of some copies of this for my friends in the church, and can recommend this to you. And as I say, it's perfectly legitimate to learn them. I know when Alec Taylor came round to our house, he said that, I don't know whether it was people within his own family or people he knew, you know, they knew all the answers word by word. Well, we're not very good at getting the actual exact words word for word. But what we try and do, if we can't get an answer, or if whoever has asked the question doesn't know the answer, we'll say it, but we'll also talk about what it means. And of course, it's a springboard for a conversation and discussion, which we're encouraged to do, aren't we, within our families, to talk about the Christian faith as we're going about our lives, and you know, not to be embarrassed or ashamed about it, but this is a part of our lives and we talk about it and try and embed it and make it real, the teaching that we do. So I found that useful with my own family. And I would commend it to you. We're going to sing our second hymn, which is number 128.